Night and day, you are the one. Only you need moon under the sun.
Our next guest on Downtown was a groundbreaking audio engineer, performer, and is still a performer, an artist, composer, musician, and we are thrilled to have her here on Downtown to tell some remarkable stories. Ramona Jan joining us this afternoon. Ramona, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you. Hi, Rich. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, thank you. Yours is quite a story. You arrived in New York in 1975. How old were you when you first got there?
I was 19.
And what was it that drew you to New York and the music scene there?
Well, I thought as a 19-year-old that was the place to go. I really didn't know much about, I didn't have money to get on an airplane and go to California, and I thought California was more for actresses and actors.
Well, and for anybody who doesn't remember, the New York of the mid-1970s was a very different New York City than what we see today.
That's correct. It was very treacherous.
Well, and a difficult time for anybody, but especially a young woman, and then compounded by the fact that you were a young woman trying to make it into the music business. How did you end up getting behind the audio console for people like Sinatra and so many others?
That was totally by accident. I had moved into a place called the Hotel Breton Hall, which they were trying to convert from a brothel to a place where people would actually live, a residential hotel. So they were soliciting artists and actors and musicians, and I saw the ad probably in the Village Voice and went up and got myself an apartment. And there were other people there in the arts. It was a mix of basically pimps and prostitutes and artists. And basically one of the people who lived at the Breton Hall needed to record, was practicing, learning to be a recording engineer. I didn't even know what that was. And she invited me down to record at Media Sound, which was one of the top studios, which is where she was working and trying to become an engineer. There were no women engineers at the time. So I walked in the place and I was like, oh, this is the place I have to be no matter what, because I write songs and I need to record them. And so I applied for a job like the next day. I think I had 3 days of recording for free there. And I applied for a job the next day, and basically, without any resume or background in recording, they asked me one question: are you a groupie? And I said no. And then I was bumped up to talk to the owners. And now, looking back, I understand the owners were John Roberts and Joel Rosenman, the men who financed Woodstock with Michael Lang. He wasn't one of the owners, but John and Joel were. They opened the studio a month before Woodstock. And basically, you got to realize that these guys, John was the heir to the Polydent fortune. And Joel, you know, I mean, these guys went to Harvard, you know, Princeton and all these schools, and they didn't have friends who were going to become recording engineers. So for them, if you walked off the street and said you're willing to be a recording engineer, you were hired. That's how we all got hired. If you happen to walk off Bob Clear Mountain, all of us.
Wow.
We were just teenagers, and we were young people just running that studio. One of my first records that I worked on was Coney Island Baby, Lou Reed. The producer was 21 years old. I was 19.
Wow.
So, you know, and they were paying $250 an hour just for the studio. Never mind the musicians, the instrument rentals, all the food, all the extras. So basically, it was the Wild West of recording. It was a new thing.
How difficult was it to be a woman in that heavily male-dominated recording industry?
It was hell. And back then, there were no words for sexual harassment or being bullied. That was just something I faced every single day. And from lots of angles. But I figured that was just part of life because I got it from my landlord, you know, just anywhere walking down the street in New York. So I was of the mind of, oh, this is just how it is in the world. Conversely, the woman who, there was another woman who was trying to make it into recording it, and she was 10 years older than me. She ended up being the president of the Women's League of Voters later on in life, but she was very aware and very outspoken about it to the point where it made me uncomfortable because I thought this is going to get us in trouble. But anyway, she was, you know, she was like a person I looked up to, and I didn't quite understand, you know, what her problem was. Like, okay, so every day you're hit on or, you know, somebody's saying some crude thing to you. You just ignore them. That was my attitude. Probably well, the wrong attitude.
And you ran into some of that yourself with, well, some legendary people. You you passed up an opportunity with David Bowie. Is that right?
Yeah, I don't know. No, not really.
No?
When you say that, what do you mean exactly?
Didn't I read a story about him coming back and planting a kiss on you after a performance?
Oh, yeah. That's right. I forgot. Oh, my God.
See, I would not forget that.
It's so funny. Yeah, that happened. I was in a band called Coma Teens, and I had just gotten off the stage, and that was at Hurrah, a club called Hurrah. He was in the DJ booth, but I didn't know that. I knew the DJ, so I walked into the booth, and he just grabbed me and gave me one of those Gone with the Wind kisses. And I just, you know, I chatted with him a little bit, but at the time I thought he was kind of a has-been, so I didn't. I was, like, not much interested.
We're talking with Ramona Jan here on Downtown. You mentioned the Coma Teens. You were in a number of bands, Venus Flytrap. Played a lot of the clubs in New York, the legendary places like CBGB's, but you've pointed out in interviews before, the romantic view of a place like CBGB's doesn't always mesh with the reality of what it was like at the time.
Yeah, it was definitely nothing I had ever experienced anywhere, coming from a very manicured New Jersey suburb. You know, there were no doors on the bathroom. I mean, these are things that they talk about now. But at the time, and there were a lot of Hell's Angels, when I started playing CBGB's, it was a Hell's Angels bar. So you'd get up on stage and you're doing what's considered new wave or punk music. It's not their style. And, you know, they would usually not pay attention. They were pretty rowdy. But they'd be sometimes the only people in the place.
Also understand that you had the opportunity but weren't interested in being roommates with a young Madonna Ciccone. Why was that?
Yeah. Well, you know, she had a reputation, and I didn't think it would be a good pairing with me. I was, you know, I worked at the recording studio by day, and I played it in a band at night. So for me, you know, I didn't need to get a lot of rest. And I pictured her as somebody who was a little bit more wild than me. So I told her I lied to her. I just said I already got somebody, even though I was desperate for a roommate. Also, I didn't trust that she was stable, that she would, you know, pay rent.
She could probably swing that these days. You continue to make not only music, but art today, doing sculpting as well. Can you talk about the art you're making these days?
Well, mostly right now, actually, you know, I'm working primarily doing the music. My band, Jan Turan, which is spelled J-A-N-T-U-R-A-N. It's my last name, Ramona Jan, with my music partner's last name, Andre Turan. We're going to play at NERFA, which is the Northeast Regional Folk Alliance. It's very juried. It's Canada and America. They have hundreds of applications. We applied, and we're going to showcase this year in November. It's coming right up 2 weeks from now. And so that's what I'm focusing on. I really don't have time to do, I would make, in sculpture, I would make a lot of sound art objects.
And our friends at Radioactive Talent are also putting together some personal appearances where you're doing some original songs and telling stories as well. What's the best way for people to keep up on what you're doing and find out about those personal appearances?
Well, we're on Instagram as Jan Turan Band. We're also on Facebook as Jan Turan Band. And if you follow us on either one, that's the best way because we post where we're going to be, etc.
Well, it'll be a memorable experience, I'm sure. Follow Jan Turan and find out what Ramona is doing. Great to talk with you. We appreciate you making time for us and wish you continued good health and success.
Okay, thanks so much, Rich.
It's Ramona Jan with us here on Downtown.